Hello and welcome to episode 161 of Geek Girls. The Geek Girls podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda and I am joined by my co-host September, also known as 9 of 12.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Ray.
Hello.
So today's topic, we're going to be discussing Disney as a moral compass. Says someone who grew up on Disney. Yep, that it influenced the way I acted, so we're going to talk about it. So, what have y'all been up to this week? Amber?
Well, fixing our stream. Yay!
Yay!
Because I did do a Heresy and Hearsay show and was running into the same errors we were having, and I couldn't keep blaming Twitch. It was other mysterious software changes. So, I fix. Harvesting from my garden, that makes me super happy and excited. I've been, like, picking beans almost every day. So, and my nasturtiums are blooming. That's another, I'm talking about a different garden next year I'm starting to plan. Because I love edible flowers. Like, I went to a restaurant with my in-laws once where every course had edible flowers, and I thought that was so great, and there were all kinds of flowers I didn't know you could eat, and other people weren't as into it, and I was eating everybody's flowers, and Rob and I were talking about this, because the nasturtiums are coming, and we kind of grew them to throw in salads. So it's like, we need a whole edible flower garden, and then I can just goth up, put on my Morticia dress, and go out with a basket, and just... You can video and I'll just be eating the flowers. It's like a step above the cutting the heads off the roses.
Yeah, it's like that's where like the idea of salads came from, was the edible flowers. I think it was like Elizabethan times. But yeah, salads is what they were called. It was very French, very, very fancy.
Dandelion salads.
Just they had all sorts of flowers that they would eat back in the day.
Well, I've been thinking about finding a recipe for, I know you can stuff and fry and eat zucchini blossoms.
Yes, it's so good.
Because my zucchinis are like putting off mostly male flowers right now. And there's a lot of them. And then they're just dropping. And I'm like, but no, it's food. So.
Batter that up, deep fry it. It's delicious.
Yeah. Well, I only have an air fryer now, so I don't know. I'll figure something out. Someone has to have decoded how to do this.
Sure. You could probably... you could probably futz it.
Yeah. Yes. I will finagle something. I did have a date with Leah, my friend, on Saturday, and we went to this Bavarian kitchen restaurant. That has very limited seating right now. We had to get reservations, and I was super excited because they had Sauerbraten as the special, and I had not had Sauerbraten since I was a little girl and my grandmother made it. And I have her recipe, and I tried to make it one time with rabbit, and it was terrible. So I don't know if it was the rabbit, or I did something horribly wrong, or like grandmothers do, she left out something. But I was really happy and I got really good Sauerbraten. And I've been working on building again. I can't show you or talk about much what we're building. It's something Rob was going to make for his friend. And then he was like, you know, I bet Leah would really like one of those too. I'm like, I bet I would really like one. Why would... And when you know, when you find out what it is, you'll understand why I was like, dude... Must have. So we did a prototype over the weekend and to make sure everything fit because it has a lot of angles and the prototype is done. And he's actually, I was just helping him do some of the cutting because we're making the final product out of MBF. And so, yeah, I've been in the shop again and this time not building outdoor furniture. And today I got this. Leah was at Spencer's last week and saw that there's a Harley Quinn Living Dead doll. And it was marked down 50% off the lowest ticketed price and had been discounted before. So I got this for $20. And I'm super excited. About my Living Dead Harley. I haven't taken her out of the box yet. But I will, because I'm not that weird collector person. I play with my toys. So I'm a 51-year-old woman, and I have a new dolly.
I think I only have one I never took out of the box, and it was a Barbie Catwoman. And it was a gift, and I'm like, no, she's too pretty. She stays there.
Oh, I do have one. A couple box things, but pops, but they're not very play-withable. And well, my Christmas Harley somebody gave me. But I've got the Barbie 2012 presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because it's got this dual-purpose sign in the box that says, she stands on her own. I'm like, all right, that's awesome. And I found them in a clearance bin rack. I think I got it for a couple dollars, and I bought a couple of them. I gave one to my niece, and then I kept one. But that's like a history thing, and I don't really play with Barbies, but I will probably sleep with Harley.
Yeah, like my pops are in their boxes just because I don't have a good place to stash the boxes. They were out because I used to have more closet space at the old place. And it's just like, we moved here and I was like, closet space is limited. You all are staying in your boxes. Up on the shelf you go.
Yeah, I have a couple that are out, a couple that aren't. Like, I have a Groot pop that's a bobblehead. Yeah. And I stuck it on my dashboard for a long time. But in the heat of North Carolina, the inside glue melted and his head fell off.
Oh no!
Yikes!
Very sad baby Groot. So what have you been up to, Ray?
Oh, yeah, I should do that thing. Uh-huh. No, mostly just pretty domestic this weekend. Scott was running five different games, Vampire and Trinity, for this Onyx Path virtual convention. So I was just doing my best kind of straighten up, keep him fed so he didn't get overly stressed, and he did an awesome job. Apparently one of the woman who did the rules for the new Trinity system was in his big game that he did that was streamed, and that was the one he was the most nervous about because he's like, senpai, but you know, not senpai, I'm just projecting, he would never say that.
At first I thought you said send pie, and I'm like,
that he would
that
say
happens to me
pie.
When I get stressed
then
out.
The apple pie, yes.
Yeah, I've been reading too much Trigger. Tom Merritt has his character in those books has a pie thing.
And then I might have a possible astrology series commission. We're going to see how that goes and manifests because it's a coworker and she likes my art, but I was trying to poke her for some details on like what she wanted, and she did that very vague, whatever you do will be fine, which always makes me very
that's
nervous.
That's so stressful as an artist. Like, I
bet yeah,
that.
So I started with
people
Taurus.
Ask me to make wedding jewelry.
Oh gosh.
And I'm like, well, what do you want? Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm like, holy crap.
A little colors, bit of direction.
Materials, yeah. Anything. Yeah.
So I used one of my friends and did a Taurus inspired girl.
It's so cute.
So I got permission from the model and she approved, so which was a fun conversation of, hey, there's this really cute picture of you with horns, and are you okay if I draw you as a Taurus even though I know you're a Cancer? Is that cool? You're not gonna be upset? I'll draw you as a Cancer if you want for you, but she's like, no, I love it, it's great, I hope she likes it too. So we'll see. I gotta talk to her on Friday. And maybe there will be more, or at least more direction on where to go from there, so.
Yeah, just show her the first thing and be like, is this what you want?
Because I was asking, I'm like, do you want, like, I could do busts and headshots all day. That's actually kind of my favorite thing to do, because it's a lot of hair and eyes, and I'm like, yay, my favorite features. But I'm like, do you want something more like what they used to have in teen magazines with the different girl icons, different poses, like little chibi versions. And she's like, whatever. I'm like, Okay.
Not helping.
we'll start with this and go from there. That was pretty much it.
Right, and as for myself, I've gotten more work done on my Cats of the Year blanket. So I have April Block.
He's so peppy, I'm gonna die!
Which is a kitty looking at all the butterflies. I love some of the names for the patterns, because the patterns are named. And the name for that pattern is Flutterbys. then I have May, which is little one. It actually, this pattern acts, it looks like my cat, like my little calico. Through no machinations from myself, this is literally what the lady's pattern looked like, and I'm like, that looks exactly like Sally.
Yay.
So it's all about, it's little flies, May flies. Mm. And
that
then
thing is gonna be huge.
It is. It's gonna be very big.
Those are big. Blocks. Yeah.
And they don't take me very long. Like if I'm working constantly, one of these blocks takes me about 2 days. And then
my wrist hurts.
June, which is a little cat with a mouse.
Oh my gosh!
Friend.
Oh, mouse loves it with the mouse.
Yes. I'm actually working on my favorite of them only because the pattern that is for July is of a Siamese looking at little bees that are flying around, and the pattern is called Siabees.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, so I'm working on that one right now. Let's see. I ran my D&D card captor game. I'm very pleased that my players seem to enjoy the amount of whimsy that I've put into it. there's more of that coming. So
they still looking for the items?
Oh yeah. The whole play is them going around looking for these cards. They've just gotten the second one. It was the Don Juan who had turned itself into a hat. And they had to get it off of a guy who was in prison. Because if you're not aware, the Don Juan card, if you pull it, you immediately go to jail. It's go to jail, do not pass go, do not collect $200. So I've been doing a lot of baking and such, because my adoring, lovely husband, whom I love very much, went to the store to get us groceries. And he went, I think we're out of eggs. So he bought me an 18-pack of eggs. When he got home, he realized that we had a carton and a half. So I had 18 eggs. So we had 32 eggs. And I was like, what? So I have made many egg-based dishes in the past couple of days. I made omelets. I have made muffins. I have made meringues. And I have made custard.
Quiche.
I could make quiche.
You know what I do with a surplus of eggs is I make quiche, but I make it in muffin tins.
Yes, baby quiches.
And then you can just throw it in a baggie in the freezer, in the fridge, and you've got little heat and eat breakfast for like a long time.
That's a good idea. My friend was also like, you should make egg salad or deviled eggs, which are the same things, just one doesn't have to be pretty. And that's true. Like, all right. Yep. So there'll be more egg-based dishes coming because we still have over 20 eggs.
Wow.
That was just, he was like,
Isn't
I looked
there a meme about that? Like, can I go to the store and get me, you know, some bread, and if they have eggs, get me a dozen, and he comes home with a dozen loaves of bread. Like,
yeah. it wasn't his fault. He doesn't check the fridge before going. So he was just like, I think we're out of eggs. We were not out of eggs.
We actually started keeping a Google document, just grocery list, and we just update it whenever we notice we're out of something.
I just need to get...
That's what I use my Echo Dot for. That is the primary use. Yeah. Is playing music in the kitchen and saying, you know, hey girl, put milk on the list, put eggs on the list, and it's the only thing that's gotten the rest of my family to use the damn list. I've had a paper list in my fridge for my whole life that you're supposed to put stuff on when you use the last of it, and no one ever does it, but somehow the Echo gamified it enough that other people help me keep the damn list updated, and then I can just open it in the store.
Yeah, it... I think I should just be like, just take a picture of the inside of the fridge before you go.
There you go.
Be fine.
Smart fridges are still too expensive.
Yes. But yes, that's what I've been up to. Crocheting and egg-based production.
So, you don't lay eggs.
With how many I have, I might as well. So... We're now going to move on to our discussion topic, which is Disney as a moral compass. I am wearing a Disney shirt. I didn't do it on purpose, but you know what? I have it.
Serendipity.
Serendipity. So the reason why because I picked this as a topic, the reason why is because growing up, Disney was, until like Cartoon Network kind of became a thing, Disney was my cartoons. And my formative years were very informed by what Disney movies I watched, like Cinderella, Little Mermaid, Bambi, which gave me a terrible fear of guns for a while. and The Lion King.
And fire, maybe.
And fire, yes.
It's okay, you should be afraid of guns and fire.
Yeah. But, yeah, and The Lion King. So, like, I feel like, as a person, you know, I looked at these movies going, okay, so, especially stuff like Cinderella, it was like, okay, so, if you're, you know, patient and kind, and don't argue about doing chores, you'll get the prince, right? That's how it works. And, you know, obviously now I'm, you know, much more knowledgeable, but I just think it's interesting how they can, you know, you can use Disney as like, oh, here's the picture of what a good, like, person is as your main character, and how a lot of kids may have grown up with that. Because it wasn't until about the end of elementary school, beginning of middle school, that I started to watch other cartoons, things that were like on Cartoon Network. Like, you know, I'm trying to remember the lineups, like Dexter's Laboratory and Powerpuff Girls and that sort of thing. So, you know, and then I didn't get into anime until like high school. So... I think at least for myself, I can definitely, you know, see the influence of be kind and try and be a good person, and then good things will happen to you is something that I have taken on as a very, like, part of my personality.
Well, they are very much often designed to be morality plays. And I when I was hitting the Google machine, I found that there's a book about that called Mouse Morality, The Rhetoric of Disney Animated Film, that I am actually very interested to read now, because I'm interested in studying that more. Recently, with the demonstrations going on and everything, I'm sure you probably saw, I know I reposted the thing about, you remember in Zootopia, how Judy Hopps wanted to be a cop so bad and went to the big city and realized she was part of the systemic racism that was painting the minority as predators, and they asked her to be the face of this force, and she turned in her badge and went home because she was a good person. Yeah, cute movie.
Yeah, and it's interesting because even... like, if you're looking way back at the beginning of, like, Snow White, they're trying to make this, morality play, as you called it, but actually, like, the studio behind it at the time, they had a lot of problems. I watch a YouTube channel called Defunct Land, and they just came out with, like they were talking about, like, the rap party behind Snow White and how it just got super out of control.
Good. I'm glad you saw that.
I don't know this story.
Oh, God.
I really wanted you to watch that one for this.
Yes. No, it's... So, like, Disney Studio started off, obviously, as a very small studio. I think there was less than 100 people. And most of the animators were men. And there was this space in there called the Ink and Paint. And that was all women. And there was a lot of not so great harassment going on at Disney in the very, very early days. And
everywhere. But yeah.
Yeah. But it isn't something that you think about. Like now, especially nowadays with Disney being the big, you know, we are the family friendly, everyone is, you know, we're equal and.
Yeah, they're very progressive socially ideas that they put forth. Yeah.
But back in the day, it was not that. Mm. And just a quick aside, Walt Disney was actually quite anti-union. He did not want his artists to unionize. I was not aware of that. But that's beside the point. Just a little tidbit for you.
I didn't feel a need for a union when I worked at Disney, though. I gotta tell ya.
Well,
their company structure,
like, it's better
they
now.
They provide so much now. Yeah.
In the video, it goes into the fact that when it was small, he did pay raises and payment, like how much you got paid on how good your animation was. But once it moved and grew to almost 1,000 people, I think, or quite like, yeah, it was like 700 or something, he couldn't have that like personal knowledge of everyone's style. And he was playing favorites. And that wasn't good. And so they were trying to unionize so that they could get, you know, better pay. And he took that as some sort of, like, betrayal.
Yeah, that happens a lot in corporations. Like, they take it as a personal affront.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you just have to be fair when you employ people.
Need a living wage.
Look at the stories we're telling. They might give you a clue. Greed, vanity, these aren't good.
They're not good. But yeah, so, sorry, that was a tangent. But it's just very interesting because any big studio like that or any big company that, you know, nowadays is trying to, like, strive, they're probably going to have some sort of story like that about how that's not how it used to be. And it's just, I find it very interesting that that was the way back when Disney was a smaller company, back when he was just first starting up. It's, you know, and the morality plays themselves, if you will, for the Disney movies, they've evolved over time as well. It used to be, you know, be a good person and you'll get the prince. And now it's evolved into, you know, we can actually go into serious issues like mental illness and racism and things like that. Because I think, like, the first one where I, like, noticed, because they've been doing it all along, was Inside Out, where they are talking about, like, they're actually telling you how your brain kind of works, but in a way that's very digestible.
That one was super deep. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm surprised. How did it do? Because it was very meta. But for me, it also reminded me of some of the Disney attractions where it, like, Journey into the Mind and into the Body and examining that kind of stuff.
Oh, I remember those. They don't exist anymore, but I remember those.
I believe it did really well.
Oh yeah,
It's got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes,
Inside
and
Out did really well.
I just know that Disney Emoji Blitz Joy kicks ass. She's a very good one to get, just so you know.
Oh yeah, they more than recouped 857.6 million at the box office.
Have you
Yeah.
watched the if you have Disney Plus, they've got all these A Day in the Life ones that go through different people at work at different places at Disney, and they've got stuff about the history of the company, and they have these Disney in real life things where they set up these social experiments, like go out in the world, and they had the setup of the desk from Inside Out, where and you could hit an emotion button, and they had actors there that were having a conversation, like, you know, out in public, and then people would walk up and they like push a button and they would switch on a dime the conversation, like they had a headpiece that would tell them, and they would be people could just walk up and they find this thing, they would control the emotions of the actors and they would act it out.
Did not,
It
I have
was
not seen
so
that.
cool.
No.
That's awesome. I'm gonna have to look that up.
And they did something with was it the octopus from Finding Nemo or Finding Dory, like they had this stroller thing rigged up as if it had the octopus in it and it had escaped and it would go tearing through and guests in the park are like, oh my God, what's going on? And then employees would come like, did you see a stroller? Like it got by and just watching people react to this stuff. Oh, it's really cute. Cool little series where they just bring this stuff to life.
So it's on Disney Plus. It's called Day in the Life. Is
No,
that
Day in
what
the Life is the one about individual employees. I can't remember the name of the other series. I think it's just In Real Life or something.
Okay, I'll have to look it up.
And they have different ones based on different characters. I want to watch the Wall-E one. There's a Wall-E one that I haven't gotten to.
See, that's another one that's like, yeah, Wally, we're talking about like terrible earth-ending things, and then he's trying to clean up the planet.
Yeah.
But it's so cute though.
Yeah, I really like that one.
Wally is adorable. His little cockroach buddy. That never dies.
Just try to look a plant.
A plant.
Just out of curiosity, did you have Disney Channel when you were growing up, Linda?
I did.
Aha,
And
okay, that makes more sense.
there was a lot of those, Disney movie, like not like the feature films, but the ones that were on Disney Channel, the Disney Channel originals. I watched a bunch of those.
I'm old. We had to wait till Sunday when Wonderful World of Disney came on and hope they played an animated one.
Yeah. No,
I
we
kind of
had
like Charlie the Cougar.
No,
The
they did
nature
they did
documentaries.
yeah they did Oh God, it was like I remember Johnny Tsunami, Smart House, all those kind of like live action straight to TV Disney movies. They're on Disney Plus, by the way.
My kids were way more into Nickelodeon and stuff.
I
And
was like,
well, we watch a lot. My kids watch a lot of PBS too instead of Disney Channel. And a lot of like Blue's Clues and Dora and then kind of straight to Nick after that.
my house, Disney was extra. That was like an additional cable
Yeah.
channel you had to pay for. So we had Nickelodeon and USA, which would occasionally show like old Hanna-Barbera cartoons. And then, Cartoon Network started on that as well. And early Cartoon Network was literally just like 80s and like 80s and older stuff for a while until it started to get its own feet.
Yeah,
So
and
yeah, I've always loved animation.
my kids
I
never
was
got really into Disney. Like, both the younger boys, I mean, they just kind of don't care about it. They never, they've gotten into anime. They liked old retro cartoons. My youngest never liked animated stuff. He preferred things like stop motion mm-hmm. and claymation. Like, it was really in Wallace and Gromit, but he would not sit through a Disney movie.
Has he seen Wallace and Gromit and the Curse of the Were-Rabbit?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've seen all the Wallace and Gromit.
It's fun.
And he was like, the first thing I had to watch over and over and over again was Nightmare Before Christmas.
That wasn't claimed as Disney at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And then once they saw how well it did, they were like, yeah, that's totally us.
That's us. Awesome. Yeah. But my
Hilarious.
Hercules, I think, is the only one they really like that they ever gave a shit about.
I do think it's different between the girls and boys demographics, because a lot of the not like there's more nowadays that's kind of, you know, it's not geared to one or the other. But back in the day, a lot of the Disney films were more geared towards girls.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was going with that.
The princesses.
Yeah, I think there is a gender thing.
Like, the first one that I remember that didn't have a princess or a girl as the main character was Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I can't remember did Aladdin come before or after Lion King?
Unless you go back before. To, like, Sword
it
and
was
Stone.
Before, yeah. But, well, see, for me, Sword and the Stone was before... Like, I didn't see Sword in the Stone until I was much older, because it was an older film, so yeah. That wasn't...
It was really hard to find for a long time.
Yeah.
Black Cauldron!
Black Cauldron!
Black Cauldron.
There is a princess, but she is not...
She's hilarious. Matt and I just recently rewatched it, actually, because we have Disney Plus, and we were just like, Black Cauldron, we're gonna rewatch this, dink! And I was like, I forgot that character was even in there!
Yeah.
That's... The first one I remember seeing in the theater, I remember being like, I loved it, every moment of it, and like the terrifying visual of the skeleton hand climbing out of the cauldron, and little, like, I had to have been like 5 or 6, like, I was young, and I'm just like, like, simultaneously I'm scared and just excited, like, it was so good.
I think maybe...
boys and culture get that put in their head, like, cartoons are for babies sooner than women do.
Maybe.
Like, grow up, be a man. I think they just get more of that, and I think that takes their interest away from animation more than it does women early on.
And I think, at least for me, the reason why I had so much Disney growing up is... I liked it, and my parents were like, well, if you like this, we're going to keep showing you these movies, because obviously they're good, and you like them. And I think the other is that it was safe. Like, yeah. my parents thought it was very safe to, in that to be fair, I only, like, in the last year and a half realized that Fantasia scarred me. Like, my parents couldn't figure out, I think I was like 5 or 6 at the time, maybe even 7, I went from liking dinosaurs to being terrified of dinosaurs, and I was terrified of skeletons. And I couldn't figure out why for a very long time after, until I rewatched Fantasia, and I was like, it's the sequence with the Stravinsky music and the Night on Bald Mountain. Scared the shit out of me, apparently.
It scares a lot of kids, actually, and that carried over into the parks. When I was working at Disney, they switched over to the Electric Light Parade, and they had to tone down Chernabog. Chernabog is a big giant float in that parade, and it was scaring the shit out of children. They were screaming and just, like, traumatized. And they had to, like, tone it way down and have more lights on, because it, like, it would get dark as it came up, and the music would start, and the smoke, and kids were, that like, so freaking the hell out. They kind of had to calm that down a little bit.
But yeah, that, so, there are, you know, obviously that's, again, it's an older film, and there were scary elements to, like, Snow White, like, yeah, the whole forest chase scene, and the witch. And
can we talk about what kind of drugs the people that made Dumbo must have been taking?
Alice in Wonderland. If you have not sat down and rewatched that movie, I
yeah, but that, recommend the book. Like, yeah, the visuals kind of like it's all already there. Dumbo. I remember watching that parade. One. I was actually tripping on acid in my 20s, and I turned the TV on and Dumbo was on, and then, like, that scene where he's supposedly drunk.
I'm like, that's not being drunk.
That is not being drunk.
I was like, again, a later viewing of that movie has me thinking, were they trying to do kind of a PSA of don't drink and making it far worse than it was supposed to be? That you do not get drunk like that on champagne.
No.
Nope.
That is not what drunk is.
Visuals are not a thing. Blackouts, like the opposite, happens from over drinking.
I had very high expectations about my first time drinking Disney. You lied to me! No, I'm kidding.
Well, if you believe that, at least you weren't planning to drive afterward.
Nope. It's always a sleepover party.
But overall, so you think Disney is a good moral compass?
No, especially the Disney, you know, from probably around the Renaissance on, they are definitely kind of trying to find that the
yes, I mean, the core messages the person, are there, right?
Yeah.
That they are anti, like, pick a sin, and you can find it highlighted in the Disney movie. And they've definitely gotten less sexist. Because, I mean, all the whole princesses thing and always having to be rescued took them a long time to get away from.
Yeah, like, that's one of the reasons in particular, like, and I know I hear it now. Entangled, yes, she does, like, somebody does come to her rescue, but she's the one that ultimately makes a deal to get herself free.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and also the Mother Gothel is a horrifying villain.
Well, and he wasn't really coming to rescue her.
Well, he was, but he failed pretty hard. But one of the reasons why I like Tangled so much is the villain. And you can always tell a really good Disney movie by how good their villain is.
Yeah.
And Mother Gothel is just, for me, is just skin crawling.
Yeah.
Because she's evil, but she's hiding it behind this, like, love, fake love for her daughter, not daughter. And I'm just like, lady, back up. You are too close.
Yeah, it's really creepy. Like, that kind of mental, emotional abuse and watching it can be really difficult.
But, you know,
you're very aware of those situations, and that Mother Knows Best song is just cringy as hell.
But that shows, like, how much they've evolved. That Disney is willing to go there. They're like, yes, this is an evil character. This is a bad person. Mm-hmm. And we're highlighting that you don't have to be over the top, like, cackling with lightning behind you to really hurt someone.
Stealing puppies, necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lilo, I think, was a fantastic protagonist.
Mm-hmm. It's fun because
she was like a troublemaker and she didn't fit in, and then of course people don't believe her, and
and that whole movie is about, like, finding the people that are your family, that
yeah,
finding the people that you do fit in with, and even oddballs can find other oddballs to, you know, be friends and family with. And I really like that movie. It's sweet, because it's got a very non-conventional family.
I think the line I use most from any Disney film might be from Lilo and Stitch, where I'm like, yeah, it's broken, small and broken, but good, still good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I really like Frozen for the advancement too of the whole not being rescued and true love being family and sisters and being your own hero. In the second one was even like a stronger it for yourself thing.
And I actually like Frozen 2 better than Frozen, the original.
I think most people do.
I like Tangled better than Frozen. I always have.
I love Tangled. I think Rob's favorite seems to be Tangled. I didn't know. He didn't care about Disney movies. He got sick last year, really sick. Actually, we think it was the COVID, but, at the beginning of the year. And, we stayed and we watched Disney movies, like, all day for 2 days. He's like, I really want to watch Tangled. I'm like, who are you? How sick are you?
Any closing thoughts?
I just remember when I worked at the at Hollywood Video, like, the movie, we had a playlist of, like, certain things. You had to play the trailer reel, basically, of, like, new things coming out. And then we had a list of music video tapes that we could play. And then we had a list of movies that we could always put on. Like, always approved. Mm-hmm. And it was Disney. It was only Disney. Not Muppets. Not Don Bluth, nothing else except Disney. I just, honestly, that's how I got caught up on a lot of Disney movies.
Oh, they should be careful with that. Hunchback, man.
Well, yeah, it was okay. I was actually very much still in my anti-Disney phase at that point, because Lion King.
Hunchback has one of the best musical scores, like, ever written, in my opinion, but yeah. It's interesting how people will, like, put a big, like, cover over Disney of, this is the family-friendly everything, and I'm like, have you seen some of the stuff they've put out?
Man, before Hercules came out, I was like, really? You're doing Hercules? Are we gonna talk about all the women he has relations with?
Yeah.
Willingly and unwillingly.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, of course not.
Yeah. Ugh. Of course, they change the script. They can always change the script.
Overall, it is considered to be the safe thing, which is why I think some people take it a step too far and maybe use it more as a babysitter or to avoid having to have those discussions with their own children. It's like, here, let's just sit you in front of the television, watch these things, and that's all you need to know. But that's... I also worked at a daycare center, and that's also what we did, so... Speaking from experience on that, after a while, it's like, okay, we can't go outside, just watch Disney movies.
I'm more a nerd about teaching moments. Like, I will ask the kids, I would always ask them, like, what did you think of that? Yeah, what about this part? And see if they had any thoughts to try and keep them from being silently traumatized. Then there was the horrible, careless, traumatizing my son by mistake. We left Army of Darkness in the video player by mistake.
I'm sorry.
And he was like four or five, and he woke up and hit play. And it was like the stop motion skeletons in the graveyard and the Necronomicon, and he was just, and he kind of woke us up, and he's like, it was of darkness. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, he's 24, and to this day, every once in a while, we're like, oh, it's of darkness, like whenever something is scary.
A similar situation with Barbarella that happened. Which, Barbara, you're like, well, yeah, you shouldn't watch that. You're a kid for other scenes. But the only part I saw was the dolls. Those creepy dolls with the metal teeth, and they start biting her. Because I was sneaking downstairs because I wanted to see what my parents were watching. And I was supposed to be asleep, but I wasn't tired. And I saw that, and I'm like, ah! And I freaked out, ran up to my room. And I for the longest time, I thought that was a horror movie.
I have a similar story, but you're going to laugh when I tell you what movie it was. My father was down in the living room watching Dark Crystal. And I went downstairs right when the Skeksis King crumbled to dust. That was still the point where I was terrified of skeletons. So add that on top of it, and I was just like, oh my god! Little tiny, like, 6-year-old me. I was like, ah!
Oh no, did it ruin you for Muppets?
No, the next thing they showed me was, I think, Muppet Treasure Island. And I was like, I didn't know they were the same. I didn't know. Right. I was too young to know it was both made by the same guy. And they were like, look, singing. And Kermit. Like, okay.
Ooh, we are dropping frames.
It's a cabin fever.
And we are all going mad. So, yeah. I personally think that, especially with the way that things are headed with the Disney, like, message and company, I think they make a pretty good moral compass.
I think they're good stewards of that responsibility for the most part.
Yeah, obviously, don't just sit your kid in front of Disney movies and be like, okay.
Right.
But,
yeah, but like, I liked your idea about discussing with your kids, like, how'd you feel? What was the movie about? How did, like, I like that. Like, that's a really good way to address it. And
I try. I'm not the worst mom.
Well, it's like, again, like, Disney movies were also the safety for, we can't do anything else in school, let's watch a Disney movie.
Yeah.
Why? Why are we watching the Disney movie? Well, we didn't want to rent anything else, sorry.
Yeah, they do that at my kids' school sometimes. But they'll do stuff like use one that's somehow related to the curriculum, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think that's what most of them are supposed to do. My school system might not have always been the best in that regards. I did always think it was, I was always envious of the kids who were learning another language because they would watch Disney films in Spanish or French.
Oh man.
I always thought that would be cool.
So yeah, we watched The Lion King in German, I remember in high school, but I actually saw The Secret of Nim in elementary school. They put that on as the movie we were going to watch. That was the first time I saw Secret of Nim. Which,
yes,
little me was like, this is so cool. Oh. And then, older me is like, this makes no sense, but it's still cool.
And speaking of Disney, I will make a PSA in that vein. Schoolhouse Rock is streaming on Disney Plus. That is a good one to sit your kids in front of and talk to them about it. I have owned that whole collection on DVD for many years and lent it to many schools.
It's like, watch Schoolhouse Rock. It's real good.
It is.
So,
yep.
If y'all have any opinions on Disney as a moral compass, you can always chime in by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at geekgrills. So, what are y'all most anticipating coming up? Ember?
I don't have much at all for plans this week. I think I'm going to be isolating more. Like, I've gone out a few times, and it makes me very uncomfortable. Like, even with, in the morning, on a Monday, and only half the store is open, I took a shower when I got home from the mall. I can't. Yeah. And I went out for a drink. It was like last night. It's like, it's Sunday night. I get a $5 Bloody Mary. And I ran into people. And it was not crowded. So I was like, okay, we'll go in. But then it was people I haven't seen in a long time. And everybody wants to hug me. And I'm not ready for this. Cases are still bad and out there. And one of my sons tested positive, and I'm just not okay with being out. So I'm staying in a lot more. I might go to a drive-in movie they're setting up in the mall parking lot.
Neat.
Yeah. I forget the movie, but it's some kids' movie. But I'm going to be able to go with Leah and her daughter and just sit in the back in the cars and watch a movie. And I'm building the secret project and my gardening. And yeah, that's about it. I really, really wish I could travel. I was supposed to have gone to see my daughter, and we're coming up on her birthday next month, which will be the first birthday that we've known each other. And I can't go.
Yeah, you'll have to FaceTime or Zoom or something.
Yeah, something. It's hurting me.
Yeah. You'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah. Ray?
Yeah, no, I'm excited about Acquisitions Incorporated D&D on Wednesday, so that'll be fun. I've been doing that with Simulacra Studios, and then I started Year 3 on Stardew Valley, which I think is technically the end of the game, but you can keep playing forever as long as you want.
Oh, is it Sandbox after that?
Yeah, because it's basically like a farming sim, but there's a lot more to it. I've never played like Harvest Moon or any of those other sim farm games, so this is my first one. So initially I was like, no, and now I'm really into it. Like, I'm not exhausted from 18 hours of playing games straight, so I gave it a fair shot, and I'm like, no, this is great. This is actually very similar to a game I want to make. So I've been enjoying that, yeah. And I'm just trying to figure out when to start streaming again.
Well, it's like Slime Rancher. Once you hit, you have an ending, but then you can just keep playing.
Yeah, gotcha. Like Grandpa just came and evaluated me, because apparently your grandfather leaves you his farm. And like his ghost came, and it was like Christmas, so it was like, oh, I see you're doing such a good job. Way to go, sweetie. And he goes away, and I was like, it hit a little bit, because I still miss my grandpa, so. But that was about it. How about you, Linda?
Well, I'm going to be doing my D&D game where I'm running on Wednesday, so more whimsy. They get to go after another card. This one is going to be entertaining, because, they're going to have a lot of options. They can try and talk their way in. They can try and steal it. They can do a lot of things.
They'll probably do something you haven't planned for, because that's how
great.
It works.
I look forward to that. Like, they kind of did that with the Don Juan card. Like, I was planning on them either, like, bribing their way in or, like, trying to sneak in, and they sort of did, like, a half... Like, they went and go and found an NPC that I had mentioned earlier and was like, hey, what's the lowdown on this? And I was like, all right, I'm going to give you this information anyway, because that was clever. let's see. Going to be playing the Star Wars RPG that we do on Tuesday. So that'll be fun. We're in the midst of trouble, as we normally are. And probably going to be making more egg-based dishes.
Cool. Well, remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Our next show will be on June 22nd at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. And what are we doing next week?
Next week is...
We should start putting that in the notes.
We should. Next week is female parentheses fantasy authors.
Ah, that's mine. Okay.
Yes,
that's Ray. Ray will do that.
Also, in addition to the subs and bits we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons, the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills. And don't forget, if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
Yes.
I have a 19-month streak of that.
Tea.
Nice.
Another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Leaving a review is free, and they help our ranking, which help other people find our podcast, which is great. You can also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word. And where can we find y'all on the interwebs?
I can be reached at 9of12, that's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast. Jen can be found on Twitter. There we go. At the yep. Sorry, I'll just do that. At the Jen Says on Twitter, no, you can find everything she does at thejensays.com.
You can find me on Instagram under DappleDame, on Twitch as Ray Aino. And Linda?
And you can find me on Twitch and on Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's M-I-S-C as in miscellaneous. And not Mrs., although that would have been clever. So, thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.